Let me just one quick follow-up that I thought of when Nancy was speaking. Have you decided, Terry, how many seconds the PSAs will be for each candidate? In the past, it's usually been 60 seconds.
Yeah, I think what we're going to what I'm leaning toward is a 60-second cart, which will have probably a little bit of intro and outro, either music or a statement or something about the election. So the actual words from the candidate will probably be less than 60 seconds to leave room for that. Because
okay,
the stations like to have, you know, nice, neat little chunks.
Right. Well, obviously, the sooner you decide, the more time.
Well, no, that has been decided. It's going to be 60-second carts, but it will not be, because of that, it will probably be somewhat less than 60 seconds of candidates speaking.
Right. I'm just saying whatever the exact number less should be known so candidates can start planning.
All right. Okay.
That's all. Okay. Well, thanks, Terry, for all of your answers, and thanks to the committee members. So now we move on to the 3 points on which Terry has asked for our input.
This is getting yourself. I'd like to ask. I heard people joined. I just want to know right now. Five absent. Teresa Allen, are you on? Ivan Alsame. Ken Aaron. Andrea Turner. Tracy Rosenberg. Okay, so except for those five members, I heard everybody else speak at some point.
How about Thomas?
Tom Porter has not ever attended any meetings of this committee since January.
Okay, thank you. All right, so here are the three. Well, let's just do them one at a time. Whether to send a business reply envelope with the ballot. Terry already addressed that in his report tonight, that he is in favor of that because it would the past track record from our contractor is that that would increase voter turnout. But it's up for discussion if people want to weigh in on it for Terry's benefit. I'll just start by saying I agree with it, too. I think it's common sense that if people have a prepaid envelope, they're more likely to actually send the ballot than if they have to go hunting around or go down to the post office and purchase a stamp. And
it's a shame for the sec.
Okay. And it's in case anyone's not aware, the station, the Pacifica only pays if they put it in the mailbox. And we had suggested, I don't remember if Terry had been appointed yet when we, so I'll say it again, that perhaps a line could be put in the election instructions saying, if you'd like to, you know, help Pacifica financially, you could add your own stamp, and then that would reduce costs a little bit. Okay, go ahead, Jane.
I think that the mailing really needs to be a very, very, very appealing fund appeal. I think that, yeah, we have to have people returning those ballots, but it wouldn't hurt at all if people were sticking $100 or $1,000 checks in those envelopes. So, yeah, let's do business reply envelope. That's what all the fundraising appeals that come to my household are. So,
okay. Anyone else on this?
Can you speak up a little louder, please, Bob?
Oh, sure. I apologize. I'll speak
voice,
right
but
into
sometimes I can't get all the words.
Okay, sorry. I'll speak right into the mouthpiece.
Thank
anyone
you.
Else?
Yes, Nancy, why can't we put how much we're spending on this election on the envelope? And we greatly appreciate your contribution.
I'm not going to do that unilaterally. If you guys suggest it and Arlene says, yes, let's do that, I wouldn't object to doing that, but... I like a nice clean envelope that is very clear about what it's about, and I have no opinion.
This is Jane. I have an opinion.
Go ahead, Jane. And was someone? I'm sorry. Was there someone else besides Jane who wanted to speak?
Yes,
I'm
here.
I'm sorry. Oh, Nia. Okay. I didn't hear you. So Jane and then Nia.
And Sasha.
And then, Sasha, you're very faint, so if you could get
close
to the phone.
I'm sorry, Sasha. Yep.
Okay. Okay, Jane.
Yeah, just that the way that the whole mailing goes together, I think if we have people who are really, really good at graphic layout and design and delivering messages, if the leadership of this organization is critical, these elections are obviously an integral part of the way our organization is set up. We want it to really work the way it's supposed to work. But in terms of how we get people to, maybe think about giving some extra money, I would just like to defer to some people who really have some expertise in that area. That's my take on it. I'd rather not, us not as a group, express a group opinion, maybe just allow any ideas that come forward to be forwarded to whoever makes the final decisions, and then just hope that those final decisions are good ones.
Okay. Nia?
Putting what the elections cost to work for us or to work against us, I think I would be more receptive to maybe saying that we need something that's a building fund or something like that, but the truth is what the elections cost us. I don't know. I think that might backfire. They might say, well, don't have elections or something like that. I do agree with the part of what Jane said, that we should just, or also Terry said, just be as clean as possible and just ask for donations to support the Survivor Foundation, something like that.
I should be clear that I think there is an intent to include a member survey and a fund appeal in the mailing. That's what the Election Services Corporation is assuming we're going to do. That's not their job to design or lay out or figure out what that is. That's obviously somebody within Pacifica. It's not my job either, but somebody within Pacifica, and I'm assuming the executive director will have to be in charge of making sure that that happens. In past elections, in some elections, each individual station has generated their own survey for their members. It was not a standard Pacifica-wide one. But however you guys choose to do it, that's outside. I mean, we'll put it in the envelope, and we'll try and get it back. And the Election Services Corporation will take those checks and credit card forms and hold them for us. But all the design and all that detail is going to be done by somebody other than Election Services Corporation or me.
Okay. Sasha?
Well, some of what I wanted to say has been said, so I'll be kind of brief. I think it would be interesting to get the word out, I guess, to the various stations that if the executive director is not going to put a fund appeal in and the station would like to, that they need to take that up. And I'm sort of asking, I guess, Bob and so forth and you, Terry, how, what's the deadline for these sorts of things and what's the best way to sort that out? And I would also, because it should probably be considered soon. And, we, for instance, KPFA, are not meeting until a week after Labor Day weekend again. So I don't know if that's in a timely enough fashion to do anything. The other thing is that, I just wanted to say that whether we include what elections cost or other sorts of things, I think is a marketing decision by somebody who is writing a fundraising letter. It could be quite a turnoff to people, even if you say, these elections cost $200,000 and it's terribly expensive. That's not, that may be a turnoff, depending on how it's presented. So I just wanted to sort of reiterate that really needed to be handled in a professional manner and somebody who knows what they're doing make the decision to what to do.
Yeah, I agree.
Terry, do you have any sense, to follow up on Sasha's question about time frame, do you have any sense of by when such a fundraising letter would need to be finished?
I really don't. I haven't gotten to that point, but the ballot goes out October 15th. I think that we would save money by rolling the printing of whatever we're going to include at the same print shop that prints the rest of the materials.
Right.
So they would have to have the stuff, but the layout would have to be done by the stations or by Pacifica. So we are talking, the detail work has to be done through the month of September and finalized probably by the end of September.
End of September. Okay.
So I would think. I don't That's just off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, maybe is that something you could check with ESC and see what their sense of a time frame is, so then we can monitor it at the local level and make sure our managers are on top of it?
That's a good point, because quite frankly, you know, because we're doing this during the presidential election cycle, a lot of the print shops are backed up, and so there could be longer delays than normal.
Right. Well, but doesn't ESC have their own printer? Didn't they say that?
Yes, but, you know, I'm just speaking in generic terms.
Yeah, okay. Well, if you could find out that and then email the committee, that would be helpful for us to kind of keep tabs on, you know, when things have to get done. Okay. I think that was it for the list, and I believe we must be close at time on this. So I don't believe, unless anyone thinks we need a motion, I think Terry has heard the sense of the group on this. So is there any objection to moving on to his next request?
No.
Okay.
Do you think that...
Go ahead, Jane. What?
I have an echo.
Somebody's clicking something, like an earring or something. I don't know.
All right, well,
no, it's something to do with my computer setting. I don't know how to fix it. Hello,
right.
hello.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I'm sorry.
All right. The next item is the inner secrecy envelope. So, Terry, can you just again explain what
Yeah, in some elections where ballots were mailed to a post office box and then opened by volunteers at each of the five stations, the idea is they wanted to have the person who sees the return address on the outer envelope not be able to see how that person voted by opening the envelope and seeing the ballot. And so an inner secrecy, a privacy envelope, was in – people were supposed to put the ballot in an envelope and put that envelope in the mail back envelope. Now that we're going to be using Election Services Corporation and having employees who could care less how any individual votes, they're just opening to process the mail – and in some other elections, we've not used the inner privacy envelope either. I'm saying we save the money by not including that envelope. People simply put their marked ballot, their check if they're sending money, and their candidate, their member survey about their station programming likes and dislikes or whatever, in a return the business reply envelope, and it all goes without the inner envelope. Save the money.
Okay, so Terry was just asking for our input on this question. And somebody who has some background noise, can they please mute their phone? Some kind of conversation or TV in the background? Okay, so who would like to address this question about the secrecy envelope?
This is Jane. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, good. I solved my problem. I don't need to say anything. I just want to make sure my problem was solved. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Okay. Does anyone want to speak on this?
I would say if anybody objects to who feels that we must have a secrecy envelope, let them speak now or forever hold their peace.
Okay.
Let's save money.
This is your last chance. All right. Sounds unanimous for eliminating the inner envelope. Okay. All right. And then the final question is the location of the ballot tabulation. Now, the Election Services Corporation has told us when we were interviewing them that they usually do it at their corporate headquarters, which is in Ronkonkoma, Long Island, which I think the executive told me is about an hour and a half drive, or and I don't even know if there is any public transportation from New York City, which is where the vast majority of WBA listeners live. And so it would be, since there's a long tradition of observers being able to watch the ballot count, that would make it near impossible. I mean, you know, probably only a tiny handful would make it all the way out to that part of Long Island. So the suggestion was made, what about just simply finding a space somewhere, you know, an office, a place in New York City that would be centrally located that would be easy for people to go to, and what my recollection is that Mr. Fatone said, you know, it's whatever Pacifica wants, it's fine with them, and it wouldn't really be an extra charge because they have the people deployed at that time. So it's not, it's just a question of what we want to do. So, you know, at most we would have to perhaps rent a place if and perhaps we could even get a volunteer, you know, or a donated space. So,
The way it works is if they have to travel, his employees, their contract that they have is they get paid this per diem, et cetera, and it's very expensive. He said if it was just like a commute within their neighborhood, and he was not definitive whether Manhattan would be a nominal amount or if in his, I'm not sure if they're unionized or not, but within his employee contract, if that would count as the per diem travel cost. So it's either a nominal amount plus the cost of renting a space that's big enough, or it's like $5,000. And he was not. We'd have to find that out definitively. He in the last conversation I had with him.
Michael Bilstein.
So that's it. In those, we don't know as an absolute fact that there's no additional charge.
I see. Okay. Well, I guess thank you for clarifying that, because I had a different recollection from the conversation that we collectively had with him. But perhaps you've had more detailed discussions since then, because I thought he had said Manhattan was fine. But okay,
yes, Manhattan is fine, but it might cost a little.
No,
bit.
Fine. No, I thought he said fine at no additional cost. But okay.
If I may.
So hold on, folks. I heard
sure.
Michael. And then me. Sasha. And then
and Lydia.
And then
Jane.
Okay, hold on. Wait. Michael, Sasha, Lydia,
Jane.
Revelin.
Manager, Jane. Anyone else? Okay, well, then I'll want to go after that. Okay, Michael.
Well, depending whether there is additional cost, we could also look at the other option of bringing people there at. You know, foundation expense, having a, you know, the van rented or something like that that would bring people from a central location in New York to the site. I want to raise a related question to the fact that it's all being collected in one place. Is there going to be a way to monitor the number of votes coming in advance of the final deadline so
yes.
that if it looks like we're not achieving quorum, that
yes.
there can be greater efforts?
Yeah, the Election Service Corporation is familiar with quorum issues are the case with many organizations, and so they will check their post office box at a schedule that we ask them to let us know how many, you know, envelopes have arrived by various points.
Okay, so
that's my understanding.
Each station will have its own count.
Yes, depending on how we choose to do it, and I think we will need to do that so that that would be a slight additional cost of having a separate P.O. box for mm-hmm. each of the different stations. Realizing it's not going to be 100% accurate in that, unless we want to get a P.O. box for each, I'm guessing what we would want to do is have one P.O. box for the staff elections and then five separate for the listener elections. I don't know exactly how many, if we want to do 10 P.O. boxes or not, but realizing that the envelopes are not hard and fast, because sometimes there's two members in a household that each are entitled to vote, they each have a ballot, but they mail them back to save us money in a single business reply envelope, so there's two ballots in that one. Other envelopes will have no ballot and will just have the survey. So the number of envelopes is not an absolute number of ballots.
Okay. Sasha?
Yeah, I just wanted to throw in here that, like you, Bob, I also remember that during the interviewing process, it was said that there would be no extra charge for doing it at a site that was convenient for New York Cityers, New Yorkers.
I can't hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that I also remember, as Bob does, that during the interview process, what was said was that there would be no extra charge for having the ballot count at another location in New York City, for example. And I remember it very specifically. I was really kind of astonished by that. So I just want to throw that in there.
Okay, Lydia.
Okay, I remember having been told since I wasn't on that call, as Terry heard it. But anyway, that's a different issue. But I don't. There are other issues involved with a location that is not already set up, both, you know, with the computers and this, that, and the other. And, you know, the more you transport ballots, and we have quite an elaborate system because we have two classes of members, and they're coming in from different boxes and so forth, I would feel better about leaving it where they are and having members. They have plenty of time to organize themselves and carpool to go out there if they so choose. In L.A., I think we've recently become used to lengthy travels, as Michael Novick can attest, since he's our designated driver for some of these carpools. And so we could be on the road an hour to an hour and a half just for our LSB meetings because of our large signal area. But I think with this much time to organize, I would opt for just having it at the location unless they offer a more convenient and cost-effective option. It doesn't hurt to ask, but I personally think it's more of a hassle to have to pack everything up and move all your computers and, you know, everything that you need, and you don't have backups for anything electronic when something goes wrong when you're off-site.
Okay, Revlon.
Okay, just two quick things. Is it possible to, in some way, Skype or tape the count so that people don't have to travel anywhere? They just have to either go, you know, go to their homes, turn on their computer, or, you know, however you decide to do it. Is that a possibility? I'm putting it out there.
I think that's a nice idea. We could probably, I don't have the technology, but I'm assuming somebody in Pacifica does, to videotape and stream live the tally. Of course, that's somewhat different than being there, because who knows what's behind the camera where the camera's not looking and so on. But, I also, just to let you know, I pulled up the last in preparing for the contract writing, we've gotten several various estimates from him, and the last one assumed Manhattan, I believe, and he had $800 for travel, $750 for transporting the equipment, plus $3,000 for on-site support. So I think he was saying it's an extra, $4,500 to do at Manhattan, I believe is what this shows. I can't be positive if that's what he means by travel and on-site support, but I believe he's saying it's $4,500 to do it in Manhattan.
Okay. Could you try to clarify that and
yeah,
email the
I can clarify that with him.
Great.
Because okay. There's also the contingency. You know, you always have to add 15% contingency because stuff happens.
Okay, Manager.
Hi, sorry. I am on the train and the noise was from me. I apologize. I remember having heard, him talking about that and said, no problem, we can do it there. But I'm not sure. I don't think he definitely specifically talks about money. But even then, it was in my mind that this is going to cost us, because if they have to move things, it's going to be part of their cost. And we have to tell them now at the beginning what we want so they can, you know, it is there. I would suggest, like other people suggested, that we should carpool. We should start organizing a carpool to take some people up there. And it costs much less than them doing it. And also, Lydia, I think, was talking about moving these things around. It makes them more vulnerable. Thanks so much.
Chair, Bob, can you hear me?
Now I can.
Okay. It's time for everything, including the meeting. So you either have to have a motion to attend, which is two-thirds, or we're over at time.
Okay, thanks. So, there's only two people left on the stack, so Jane and myself. Is there a motion to extend for 5 minutes? or rather, is there any objection to a five-minute extension?
Okay. Move to extend.
What's that?
Hi, Terry, I'm back. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I thought I was
okay.
Muting my phone and I hung up accidentally.
No problem. Well, we just agreed to a five-minute extension and then the meeting's over.
Okay.
So, Jane.
So, if I can just say one thing about...
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, I believe when you're talking to somebody about before you have a contract with them, when you say, can you do it in New York City, they say, oh, no problem. And I think he intended us to interpret that it would be nominal or free. But now that I have the actual estimate from him, he has these figures. So I think if you pin him down, I think and that's what I have to do. Pin him down.
Okay. All right. Very good. So Jane and then myself.
I'm in favor of the accounts being done at their location for the reasons that have already been mentioned by Lydia and Revlin.
Okay. All right. And I would just say that, you know, I think we have to think more about this and we have to get the confirmation of the exact fee because I certainly appreciate Lydia's perspective about in L.A. people get in the car and drive an hour or longer to a meeting, but the cultures are very different here. Many, many people in our Signal area do not own cars because we have, thank God, a really excellent public transit system in the city of New York, but not in the suburbs and on Long Island. So the idea of gathering a carpool to go an hour and a half out of New York City is a lot harder than it may seem because there may not, you know, there may be five people who want to get together and not a single one of them owns a car. So I think we really have to think this through more carefully before we just say, oh, no problem. They can do carpooling, and that's the end of it. So, all right.
I can say that this is not going to happen till December. And
right.
If there's one decision we could hold off on, it's this one.
Exactly. Right, which is why we don't have to really settle it tonight. Okay, so...
December?
Yeah, that's what the timetable that's been published says. That Terry, can you just repeat the what the timetable is as far as the count?
The ballots get mailed out October 15th. They have to be returned. They have to be received by November 30th. So the tally will happen the first week of December.
Oh, and by the way, how many days are you estimating, or maybe you don't know yet, the tally will take for all 10 elections? Do you have a guess?
They can do probably at least half of them in one day and the other half the next day.
Oh, really? Oh, 2 days
altogether? Yeah, I mean, it's
okay.
Pretty – I mean, they have a industrial quality scanner. They just put a whole stack of ballots in it, and it goes and they're counted. So it can happen pretty fast.
Great.
So no human eyes are going to be looking at these things?
Human eyes can look at every single ballot because there's going to be a photograph, essentially a graphic image of every single ballot. So any person who wishes can look at any ballot image and compare that with what the computer says that ballot is voted for. So you can look at every single ballot and look at every single compare it to the record.
You okay. Means anybody?
That's the goal, yeah.
Okay, and so there's a number on each ballot, right? So they can keep a copy, or there's something they can keep a copy of everything that they voted.
That's another issue we're trying to settle on where we're going to go, and that's a whole other discussion which we do have to have at some point. But whether to have the pins on the ballot, as was done last time, or have the pin numbers on the tear-off tab. So that the ballot vote is actually anonymous and secret.
Okay. Well, we're out of time for this meeting, but that's definitely an issue we should return to. So, Terry, at some point, I know you have a lot on your plate, so maybe after the nomination deadline and the membership deadline, you could write us a little memo about the pros and cons of that issue. But
yep.
As you said, we have time to deal with that. Okay, so that's the end of the meeting. Thank you, everyone. The next meeting we agreed to is
October 2nd.
Thank you, October 2nd. And so we'll talk to everyone then.
All right, good
Thanks
night.
Very much. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Bye.